Your light has come. Let's stand together with this magnificent scripture. Your light has come. And I want to read this scripture for us from this spectacular scripture from Isaiah 60. Oh, the prophet Isaiah. Incomprehensible, the stance he had. I'm not saying the other prophets weren't great too, but wow, Isaiah, what a spokesman for the word of God. This is a complex message. It's a threefold message. It's talking about Israel. It's talking about the church. It's talking about you. So let's look at this scripture and let's see what God would say to us from it. Again, let's stand together. Isaiah 60. I'm going to read the whole first 14 verses. It's about half the chapter, but it is packed. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. And nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes around about and see. They all gather together and come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried in the arms. Then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you. The wealth of the nations will come to you. A multitude of camels will cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephraim. All from Sheba will come. They will bring gold and frankincense and will bear good news of the praises of the Lord. Verse 7, all the flocks of Kedar will be gathered together to you, and the rams of Nebareth will minister to you, and they will go up with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify my glorious house. Who are these who fly like the cloud and like the doves to their lattices? Surely the coastlines will wait for me. The ships of Tarshish will come first and bring your sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, for the name of the Lord your God and for the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. And foreigners will build up your walls, and their kings will minister to you, for in my wrath I struck you, and in my favor I have had compassion on you. And your gates will be open continually. They will not be closed day or night, so that men may bring their wealth of the nations with their kings led in procession. For the kingdom and nation which will not serve you will perish. And the nations, plural, will be utterly ruined. The glory of Lebanon will come to you, the juniper, the box tree, and the cypress together to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. Finally, verse 14, and the sons of those who afflicted you will come bowing to you, and all those who despised you will bow down themselves at the soles of your feet, and they will call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. You may be seated within God's word. This thing is packed. So again, I started by saying it's three levels. It's about Israel. It's obviously about, I think it's about the church, and it's about you. I like to go through 14 things that I think are insights that the Lord is giving us concerning this scripture and what they would say to us. The first one is found obviously in verse 1, your light has come. The rising of the glory of God on His own. I'm talking the true, actual believers. Now, immediate. Unique, different they are, zealous they are. They're not lukewarm. They're not timid. They're not trepid. They're the power ones. The power ones. So your light has come, Israel church and you. Secondly, this is found in verse 2. Darkness will cover the earth. Now, you're already seeing this, right? You're not totally blind to this, are you? I mean, we're talking war, crime. You think, well, it's going to get a lot better with the next election. Don't bank on it. As a matter of fact, the next election could make it much worse if the wrong guy, according to the power brokers, wins and they have to deal with this whole thing. I mean, you know we're verging on civil war. You probably have missing this, but it's bubbling. War, crime, confusion, immorality, greed. Now, this is certainly in this verse, verse 2, it says, darkness will cover the earth. This is talking about the tribulation. That's the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. This is talking darkness covering, but we're already seeing this starting. Do you know, and this is an amazing stat, this is a horrible stat. You ready for this one? 30% of Generation Z, that's ages, of course, 18 to 26, 30% of Z girls consider themselves either lesbian, bisexual, or in some kind of way gay. 30%. As a matter of fact, what's happening right in front of you, church, while you sleep, every generation has gotten worse in the context of greater and greater percentages are immoral and are stepping away from the identity of Eden, the creation. God created them, what? Male and female. He didn't create them bisexual. I was in Publix the other day. You ever been to Publix? So I was getting ready to go through a checkout line, and this person was in front of me. Long eyelashes, a dress on, lots of makeup, long nails. Thank you. The voice came out. It was a man masquerading, pretending to be a woman. So I went up to the checkout lady, and I said, I kind of rolled my eyes, and she rolled her eyes back and me like, you gotta be kidding me. She says, it's everywhere. And I said, I couldn't agree more. She said, a friend of mine just gave birth to a baby. And the doctor, with scalpel in hand at birth, says, what do you want it to be? In other words, if it's a boy, we'll do the chopping. Does this bother anybody? What is happening? Does that bother you at all? The little baby has no choice. The doctor wants to know, what do you want it to be? This has gone deep into darkness, but it'll get worse. 3, it says in verse 2, deep darkness. will cover the peoples. This is different than darkness. You're aware of that, right? You know, deep darkness is worse than darkness. This is talking about the 1260 days of the second half of the tribulation called the Great Tribulation. Deep darkness. Now, maybe you hear this all the time. Maybe you don't hear it at all. First half of the preparation is going on the first half of the tribulation. What did he say? During the first half of the tribulation, it's a preparation for the culture, the society, to get darker and darker until finally they're able to what? Worship the beast. It's also, I'm happy to say, a preparation for the redeemed to stand up and get ready for what's coming on the earth, the second half of the tribulation, the Great Tribulation. So the whole first 1260 days are preparation for the darkest time in the history of the world. You go, well, that's another couple hundred years off. Maybe not. Maybe it's just a little while away. It's culminating, all this preparation, and then going into the deep darkness. It's the culmination for Armageddon of Revelation 16. This article just came out today. Violence and crime are already completely out of control all over the United States. I didn't write this. This is a news article. In fact, you definitely wouldn't want to be caught in the streets where hordes of our lawless young people are running wild. If things are this bad already, what is it going to happen if the election in November goes not the way that leaders on the left want, and they give the green light to millions of radicals to cause widespread chaos all over America? I think that we got a small preview of what this would be like during the riots of 2020. Unfortunately, since that time, the open border policies of the Biden administration have allowed millions of extremely desperate people to come pouring into this nation. The stage is set for civil unrest on a scale that we've never seen before, and it certainly isn't going to take much to push our society over the edge. Now, I don't tell you this to get you afraid or get you upset, but I'm sure telling you this to prepare your heart so when it goes crazy, you're steady. No? You know where your anchor is. It's where? On Christ Jesus. Where's it going to be? On the society and everything being peaceful, or on Christ and Christ alone? Say it with me. Christ and Christ alone. That's worth saying a second time. Come on. On Christ and Christ alone. That's where your security is. That's where the stability of our times are. Number four. This is also found here in verse 2. It says, the Lord will rise upon you. The Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. The Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. This is the gathering of the final influx, talking about here, of the saints and the believers, where evident power is on you. Evident power. You go, wait a minute, I'm just hanging out here until I can just kind of get through this. Don't do that. God means for there to be evident power upon you. It's not just about your job. It's not just about your employees or employer. It's not just about going through your daily activities. But it's the Lord coming in power upon you, where there's no mistake. In other words, his name is written on your forehead. In other words, it's going to be so obvious that you're a believer, so obvious that you're called, So obvious your calling. This is leading towards the great multitude of Revelation 7, where God talks about in his word, there'll be a great multitude that can't be counted. This is the righteous in the middle of the dark time. It doesn't exclude you from living righteously today. You say, well, that's then. They'll take care of that then. What is your calling now? Your calling is to shine, rise and shine. Okay, number five. Nations will come and kings to the brightness of your rising. Nations will come and kings to the brightness of your rising. This is talking about the revival nations.
What?
Yes. Not every nation will be part of the revival nations. I'm convinced of it. Now, this is conjecture. I think there will be 70. I've got a lot of biblical proof for that, but I don't want to get into it. I'm not just saying it can only be 70 nations. It can't be 69 or 71, but or 80 or whatever. But I think there are certain nations that will revive. I don't think it's America. I sure hope it's America. But it's certain nations, the surviving nations, the revival nations. It says in Revelation 7, verse 10, from every nation. That doesn't mean 218. That means the nations that are current, that haven't been nuked. Ooh, what did he say? How long does radiation last when a nation has been nuked? Well, just go try to plant a tree in Hiroshima, right, or Nagasaki. I mean, they say it's between 10 and a million years. It numbers is a long way, minimum of 10 if it just sort of gets on the outside. But if it's towards the center of where a nation or a city has been nuked, it can take up to a million years for that soil to be right again. That's a while. So I'm talking about the revival nations. I'm talking about the surviving nations. Let's look at number six. Number six, your sons will come from afar. Your sons will come from afar. So who's first? The sons. What? What about the daughters? The scripture says your sons will come from afar. I think this is talking about the men will be first to choose righteousness. This is the opposite of what's happening with homosexuality, where the men were first to choose evil and drug the women. You know that homosexuality in our cultures came first and lesbian came later, right? So this is the reverse. The men, I believe, will respond to the gospel. Doesn't mean the women will be left out. Look, I know what happened at the cross. I'm not silly. I know it was the women that stood with Christ at Calvary. They wept for him. The disciples took off running. I get it. Who was at the tomb first? Sure. I understand this stuff. But here it's talking about your sons will come from afar. Your sons will come from afar. This is the great magnetic pull of the gospel for the men to take a stance for righteousness. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 28 says, I have found one man among a thousand. This is Solomon speaking, but I've not found a woman among any of them. So the calling is to mighty men of God to take a stance. The men come. Number seven, your daughters will be carried in the arms. Your daughters will be carried in the arms. This is a change happening here in the scripture prophesied by Isaiah that there is going to be a change in the whole male-female roles, place, and understanding. Now, I'm not trying to offend the ladies, but I'm going to speak this. The women need to be protected. The women need to be covered. The women need to be loved. I'm talking Ephesians 5, where it talks about the love that the husband is meant to show to his wife, the wife respect for her husband. What's more important for a man, to be loved or respected? I can tell you right now, by far, to be respected. What's more important for a woman, to be loved or respected? By far, to be loved. Absolutely. So, we're talking about a change coming in the culture of roles. Let me read this scripture here where it talks about your daughters will be carried in the arms. It literally means to be carried on the hip. It doesn't mean to be dragged through the mud. It doesn't mean to be dominated. It means to be carried on the hip. So the men are no longer rapists. The men are no longer abusing the women. They're no longer dominating the women, but they're carrying them on their hip. They are protecting them. They're keeping them. They're covering them, and they're especially loving them. Whenever my wife and I do the marriage conference, we always stand in front of hundreds of couples with two vases. If you've been to one of our conferences, you know about the two vases, right? And one is a very delicate, beautiful piece of potter that we got from Hebron in Israel. It's beautifully sculptured, painted. It's glorious. The other is a brass, about the same size, is a brass vase. Both cost us about the same. We got a deal on both of them, but anyway, both of them cost the same. So I'm standing on the edge of this cliff. I'm up 100 feet down and rocks down below. I drop them. Down they go. What happens? The delicate vase is broken and the brass is bruised. Will never be the same with that huge dent in its side. So it is with the woman. So it is with the man. When things in life hit us, we are different. It doesn't mean one is more valuable. They both cost the same. They both cost Christ's blood. They both cost him his life, but life will hit us differently. And men, I'm calling you to stand to cover and love your wife. Wife, realize the power that your husband, the man around you, all the men in the church are meant to be for you. Look, you're called to protect these ladies. You're called to pray for them. You're called to stand for them. You're saying, get me first. I'm between them and harm. Eighth, and found in verse 5, you will see and be radiant, and your heart will, by the way, the literal Hebrew there is tremble and be enlarged. I know it says in the scripture, in our translation we read this morning, will thrill, but it literally means to tremble and be enlarged. You will see and be radiant, and your heart will tremble and be enlarged. Radiant. The miraculous. The miracle. Look, one soul's heart, because they heard the truth and changed, is a miracle. But I also believe that under your leadership, yours, there will be miracles unseen since the beginning of time. Tremble. We're talking people that fear God. What do you fear most in life? You say, well, I fear my marriage breaking, or I fear death, or I fear financial ruin. Don't do that. Fear God. Lord, I fear you and tremble at your word. Try it with me. Lord, I fear you and tremble at your word. One more time. Lord, I fear you and tremble at your word. Enlarged. Enlarged. God means to enlarge you. And how is he going to enlarge you? Through humility. So that you can handle the glory of the Lord when it comes upon you. Not so it goes right to pride, right to self, right to me. I believe God means for His oil to come down on the humble and give them power that the world needs to see badly. Number 9, bring gold and frankincense. This is found in verse 6. Bring gold and frankincense. This is talking about Christ's glory without the myrrh. You always think of gold, frankincense, myrrh, right? That's what the kings brought. But myrrh, the burial ointment, the ointment of sadness. This is the gold and the frankincense. In other words, Christ's lordship, His power, not Him and His weakness in His crucifixion, which the world loves. You see all the time, people wear all these gold crosses. They love to talk. And I'm not saying we don't need the cross. I've said this many, many times. Oh, do we need the cross? But to always look at Christ in His weakness and His humiliation and His death, I want us to see Him in His gold and frankincense. In other words, the purity of the gold, the fragrance of the frankincense without the myrrh. It's the lordship of Christ without His weakness. Number 10, this is found in verse 8. Who are these who fly like a cloud and like the doves to their windows, is the literal Hebrew. What a strange scripture for the Old Testament, Isaiah. What in the world is he talking about here? This is talking about the raptured ones. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4:7, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So right here in Isaiah, it's actually talking about the meeting of the Lord, which you will experience in another few minutes, another few weeks, or maybe another few months or whatever. But it's actually talking about the rapture right here. Can you imagine this? What a wonderful thought. But it says, like the doves in their windows or their lattices or their places of rest. So it's also talking about the second coming, that we will come with the Lord in the clouds of the heavens towards the earth as He rides in victorious on His land. Number 11, it says in verse 9, their silver and their gold. Here we go. Their silver, notice the order, and their gold. This is talking about genuine wealth. This is not talking about paper. You went in with a $100 bill. Wow. But it's paper. And that paper is getting worse, less and less. Are you aware of this? It says the average American now has to spend $11,000 more a year, the average American, $11,000 more a year just to stay current with where they were last year. So you're talking about inflation or stagflation. I mean, all this stuff going on. Anyway, it talks about their silver and their gold. This is not stocks, not bonds, not paper. This is real wealth. And notice it calls silver first. Why would it do that? Well, silver is certainly an easier commodity. It's not worth nearly. It's about 87 to 1 right now. That fluctuates all over the place. It was 127 to 1 last year, and it gets down lower. It should be 15 to 1, which it was in the time of Hezekiah, but details, details. But silver and gold, this is real wealth. Christ was sold for real wealth. 30 pieces of silver. It's the easier commodity than gold, although gold certainly is more value. Number 12, and let me do this one from verse 10. In my wrath, I struck you. In my favor, I've had compassion on you. In my wrath, I struck you. In my favor, I've had compassion on you. If you've ever experienced the discipline of the Lord I would just say, well, I know it's hard to do, but rejoice. Wow, the Lord cares about me enough. He disciplines every son or daughter that he receives, Scripture says, that he cares about, that he brings towards him. If you've been disciplined by the Lord through some kind of hardship, no? Rejoice. Okay, God, I get it. You've done this to me to take me ultimately closer to you than I've ever been in my life. Which lasts longer, this life or eternity? Obviously eternity. So he's got something after in you and for you. You're listening to this, right? He's after favor. He wants to favor you. He wants to bless you. But he's not going to be able to do it on your flesh. He's not going to be able to do it on your flesh. He's not going to be able to do it on your sin. He's not going to be able to do it on your wavering or your misgivings. He's going to do it on your faith. He's going to do it on your courage. He's going to do it on your walk close with him. Historically, let me pop over to the Jews, and I said this is for Israel, this whole thing, as well as the church, but you look at history and the world's hatred for Jews, it's amazing. It's amazing how much the world has hated Jews historically. I mean, I can go all through the history, you know, of what happened in 1492. Everybody thinks 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue, but actually 1492 was when the massive theft of the Jewish properties happened in Spain and the Spanish acquisition and inquisition, acquisition in the sense of stealing their property, inquisition in the sense of persecution, started, and it was monstrous. I mean, this is happening currently, right? I don't want to get all in the horror of what just happened with Hamas, but it was horrible. This stuff is going on and on and on, and that's not going to stop until favor comes on them, and it's only going to come on the redeemed. Number 13. This is found in verse 12. For the nation and the kingdom which will not serve you will perish. Look, there is no neutral ground. He who is not for me is against me. Scripture is really clear. There's no neutrality. Are you for the Lord or against him? Choose this day, as Elijah said, whom you will serve. Sure. So the choice is for nations, people, and you. For anyone around the unique ones, there's decision. Are you for the genuine gospel or not? The genuine gospel. Hell. Heaven. The genuine gospel. My father used to always say, a hell to shun, a heaven to gain. So, the genuine gospel. When it says serve you, we're talking about submitting to Jacob. He's the God of Jacob. You know, that phrase is used more times in the scripture than the God of Abraham or the God of Isaac or the God of Joseph. The God of Jacob. The guy with all the trouble. The guy that wrestled with the Lord. I mean, you know, I've often thought, which one do I feel like most like? And I guess I have to admit, I feel most like Jacob. I'm not that I'm saying I'm Jacob, but I do feel it. You ever been through any trouble? You ever been through any pulling left, right, or back or forth? Not in your family, not anywhere, right? There's never been any kind of issue of wrestling for righteousness. The God of Jacob, absolutely. For the nation and kingdom which will not serve you will perish. It's very clear in the Word of God that he means business with the culture. Number 14, and I'll close with this one. This is also found in the 14th verse that we just finished reading. Those who afflicted you will come bowing to you, and all those who despised you will bow themselves at the soles of your feet, and they will call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. This is very strong language, very strong language. Those who afflicted you will come bowing to you, and those who despised you, and there's many that do and will, the more you walk with Christ. Someone who I trusted very much says, if you don't want trouble, do nothing. You don't want trouble, do nothing, right? So you don't want anything to happen bad to you, then just do nothing. Don't even talk about Christ. Don't even try to live a life of the genuine gospel. But if you do, they will eventually, according to the word of God, come and bow themselves at your feet, and they will bow at the soles of your feet and call you the city of the Lord. This is the ultimate vindication happening here. This is vindication every time you have been distressed or been thought lowly of or not received because of your walk with Christ or your stance for the genuine gospel. All those people that were horrible to you, whether living or dead, and I don't want to get into this too much, but it includes everybody, because there is a resurrection. You know, there's two resurrections, right? There's the resurrection of the righteous, and there's the resurrection of the dead. Anyway, they're all going to come and bow at your feet. Powerful, powerful vindication word on you and on me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord Jesus, you are the word made flesh. And we pray that you would cause your word to have life within us, effect within us, and your name would be written on our foreheads in such a way that our light shines for the world in the middle of darkness and deep darkness that is coming. Keep us until the great day of Christ Jesus, where we long to celebrate for eternity your resurrecting power in us all. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.